Hello, John.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Again, I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, thank you. Well, let's see if we can make this finally happen.
And this is what, the third or fourth time that we've tried to get an interview done?
Yeah, and I agree with you that it's way better on Skype, but I don't know why Skype is not cooperating with us.
Yeah.
Want me to give you an introduction one more time?
Yeah, if you can.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
So, I am an award-winning filmmaker. I am from Colombia, and I have a background in philosophy. I did a master's degree in philosophy in Colombia, and after that I came to Los Angeles because I wanted to pursue a career in filmmaking. When I got here, I went to a New York Film Academy for 2 years, or I did an MFA in filmmaking, and I've been just trying to be as active as I can and to direct as much as I can. And my most recent efforts on that field are the two shorts that I send you, A Breaking Point and Not. And I am right now finishing the last details of the post-production of my first feature film. The title is The Broken Legacy. And I'm really hoping that we're going to start submitting to festivals in July.
Okay, cool. First, you said that you have a degree in philosophy. How did you go from philosophy to filmmaking?
Well, I get asked that question a lot, especially from my family. And for me, the connection between philosophy and filmmaking has always been very evident. You know, for me, it's very obvious, it's very close, especially because when I was studying philosophy, for me, the history of philosophy is kind of like a movie, you know, it's kind of like a really long saga, epic saga, like Star Wars or The Lord of the Rings or something like that. I always saw philosophy like that, you know, with characters and with conflict and with drama. So I was very romantic about it and very passionate about it. But at the beginning, I thought that the filmmaking business was beyond my reach because my family has no background in art or in filmmaking. But then after I graduated from philosophy, part of what I learned, you know, part of the teachings of philosophy in my life is that you need to realize who you are and who you want to become and go for it, you know. And I realized, like, hey, I like film so much that I don't want to be just a spectator. I want to be part of it. So that's why I made the decision of coming, hopefully, to combine those two passions, right? To combine philosophy and filmmaking somehow.
And so far, how have you tried to implement philosophy and filmmaking?
What I've been trying to do is to try to approach a question, a philosophical question, with my work. And that is also the inspiration that I have for making some of my movies. So, for example, with Breaking Point, I really wanted to tackle the question of, can we stop evil without becoming evil in the process, you know? Mm-hmm. So that, to me, was inspired by an author, Immanuel Kant, because he claims that there is an absolute good and that a good human being has to follow these rules of the absolute good, you know? So I think that's a fascinating concept. And for me, it was interesting to have a character such as my main character in Breaking Point. I define him as a good character. You know, he's a good guy, he's a good cop, he's a good husband, and yet he's in this situation, like kind of real life situation, where he has to make a decision that I don't believe the decision makes him bad, a bad person, but can't would say that he's a bad person for that decision that he made. So I really want to tackle that question, you know, like, is there an absolute good? Like, can we stop evil without becoming evil in the process? So that was, for example, like, by far, like, the huge... And in other work that I have done, you can, like, ask similar questions. For example, not, which I didn't write, that was written by someone else, but for me as director, I had to find in the material the question, right? I was like, why is this so interesting to me? Why do I have to tell this story? And the answer came in the way of, like, for me, not is the tension of who we are versus where we come from, you know? So it's kind of like this idea of, like, well, your family has some expectations, and even genetically we have some abilities, but can we go beyond that? Or we just need to follow that path, you know? And not it's like the story of how this girl breaks through all these rules and all this history that her family has to do her own stuff. And so that, for me, was like the question, you know?
And also what I found interesting was that not only was she trying to break her family role, her role in that generation of the family, but also gender roles as well.
Yes, that is correct. And it's the idea behind that short is to make the audience's question, like, how far can you get through working hard, you know, and being consistent. For example, a lot of people always say, like, oh, you know, if my family had more money, or if I get into a better school, I could probably get really far, you know. And the question is, like, well, maybe you can get really far even if you don't come from a good family, or even if you didn't graduate from the best school, just through hard work.
Nah, you said that was written by somebody else. Can you tell me who wrote it?
Yes, that was a very interesting collaboration, because as a independent filmmaker, it is common for you to have to write your own material, have to produce your own material, and sometimes you also have to finance your own material, right? So not, it was written actually by the actress that is the main character, by Joy. So she took the advice that a lot of actors are giving these days, and is that actors cannot wait until a casting. They cannot wait until they land a role. You know, they have to create their own content. They have to write their own material so they can be their own stars, you know, in their own movie. So that's basically what happened. Like, she wrote this short and she financed it, she produced it. And we were friends before it started, and I showed her some of my work. I told her, like, I would love to be a part of it, not just because of subject matter that I was very passionate about, but also because I knew she wanted to do fight choreography, which I think is fantastic as well. And I, having the opportunity of directing those kind of sequences, for me was an incredible opportunity. So yeah, basically it was that collaboration that came from the need that actors have this day to showcase their own abilities with their own shorts that they write and produce. And it was great. It was really great working with her. We had an amazing collaboration on set.
Do you have any inspiration or aspiration to get in front of the camera?
No, never. I mean, when I was back in Colombia, before I decided, you know, how I want to be a filmmaker, I started experimenting, you know, with a camera, like just shooting videos just for fun. And just because I was by myself, sometimes I would have to be in front of the camera, you know. I was the main character in those videos because I had nobody else around to help me. However, I really like, I don't mind being in front of the camera, but I am aware that I am a terrible actor. Like, I just can't act at all. So, for me, actually, having the opportunity of coming to LA and having, the opportunity of finding amazing actors everywhere, it's like, yeah, you'd never think to, not even a cameo, not even nothing. Like, I just enjoy so much working with actors, and I know I can't act at all. So I never dream about it. I never done it.
Would you consider doing a little bit? You just to writer director Shane Black says that you can't write for a character or you can't direct for an actor once you if you don't know what that experience is like. So that's why he's been in certain movies in smaller roles like in Predator and everything else like that. Would you ever consider doing it just to see what it's like in a big production?
I definitely go to actor workshops, and that kind of activities. But I think I would never, like, professionally acting, even on a super small role, I think I would never do it. Like, I don't think, like, I understand what Shane Black is saying because he's right. Like, how can you direct an actor if you don't know what acting is? However, I think I can get a pretty good understanding of what acting is without having to act, like for real. But I mean, it's just understanding the craft. And I mean, I have done it. And actually, when I went to school here in the New York Film Academy, directors do have acting classes, and we have to like act in front of the class, and they give us like improvisation exercise. And, I'm totally okay with doing that. However, like doing it like on an actual set for real, I don't think it's a good idea.
So Knot and Breaking Point, those were played in festivals.
Yeah, that's correct. Breaking Point is a little bit older, so I think Breaking Point is like almost finishing the festival circuit. That's very tricky though, because unfortunately, also submitting to festivals costs money. So sometimes with some projects, you start submitting, and then 6 months later or 8 months later, you're like, I have an extra $200. I'm gonna keep submitting, But yeah, they're both. They have played in some festivals, mostly local festivals in Los Angeles. Not played in a festival in New York as well. I think they have good they have had a pretty good run on the festival circuit.
And what was the reception like, for the films?
I think it has been mostly positive. With Breaking Point, I feel it's a little bit harder to process the message in particular because a lot of people, just out of instinct, they really expect the protagonist, James, to not shoot the bad guy at the end, Like, that ending causes some controversy because a lot of people in the screenings get disappointed, or get mad, and they're like, what is this? What a ripoff. The hero was not a hero, And that was what I was going for that, Like, the hero gets scared and makes a mistake, But that doesn't make him a bad person. But I've got a lot of negative reactions from that decision, which I find very, very interesting. And Knot has also have a really good, because Knot is a more optimistic film, Like, it's more upbeat. So people usually react to it very well.
Okay, I can see where some of that is coming from. Breaking Point. It's kind of is he or isn't he? And usually, as someone in the audience is watching a movie, they usually like to try to project what they feel onto a character.
Yes.
So I guess I can see where that's coming from. Even though I personally I didn't have a problem with it. Really wanted that guy to get shot.
Yeah. But it's also, it's also interesting playing with audiences' expectations, you know, because people always complain that movies are predictable, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when the movie changes something that the audience were expecting, the audience gets mad, you know? Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's kind of hard, like, if you make it predictable, people don't like it. And if you change it, people don't like it either.
Sometimes you just can't win, especially some of these some of the mainstream movies. Some people feel the same way. So you said you're finishing up post production on your first feature film. You're doing color correction on it.
That is correct, and I'm finishing the score as well.
Can you disclose anything about The Broken Legacy?
Yes. The Broken Legacy, the genre is drama, romance, because, again, with all this idea of philosophy and of exploring things, I wanted to start my first feature with questions about love and friendship. Okay. So that is like the main aspects that I'm hoping to tackle on that feature, is more personal love and friendship. And basically, the pitch of The Broken Legacy is that the main character is, his name is Steven. He's a really, he's a screenwriter, and he's lost, he has failed in life. And he goes to a research facility to stay there for 1 month because they are testing a new drug, and they will pay him just to be there for a month and test the drug. So he goes for it, and actually the whole story happens in that month, in that research facility, where basically he will meet a girl that her name is Emily. She's really sweet, she's really cute, and he will have feelings for her, but he's shy, so he thinks there's no way he can be with her, right? And at the same time, he meets this guy that is his complete opposite. Everything that Steven is not, this guy is. You know, he's outgoing, he's confident. And this guy claims, you know, he introduces himself as a philosopher. You know, he's like this really outrageous character. And what they end up doing is a deal. And that is like the driving force of the movie. The deal is that this philosopher guy is going to help Steven with Emily. And in return, what he expects is Steven to write a script based on his life, because this guy is so, like, egotistical, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's basically the pitch of the movie, you know? We're going to see what happens with this deal. We're going to see where it takes these characters. And it's, you know, an exploration about what it means to become an adult, to have dreams and projects, but not knowing how to get there, you know, to all those goals. All these characters are early 20s, so I'm hoping to get that target audience, you know, people that are, like, finishing college, starting to get into the real world, and having that sensation of, like, this is not what I expected.
And this is, hopefully you want this out by July, right?
Festival. I'm hoping, yes. I'm hoping to start sending the movie out in July. So hopefully it will start getting screenings in hopefully the end of the year, November, December.
Okay. Let's get back to you. Who was your influence as a director?
I'd say my main influence, one of my main influences as a director is Christopher Nolan. I'm a huge, huge Nolan nerd. I really like his movies. I really like his styles, you know. Like, he's not perfect. I'm not that crazy about him. Like, I know I'm well aware of his flaws. But his movies really touch me, you know. And right now, like, yeah, he's doing these big budget blockbusters, and I think that's great, but, like, my favorite movie actually is Memento. Okay. That is one of his, Yeah, it's one of his earliest movie. It's the second feature he made.
Yeah, with Guy and, Pearce, Joe Pantoliano, Carrie Ann Moss.
Yes, yes. And for me, that movie is like one of my biggest guidelines in movies because he really used a tool to tell the story that is telling it out of order. But that tool, he didn't make it to look fancy or to look amazing. You know? No, he did it because that's the condition the main character has, you know? So it's like seeing the movie is getting in the skin of the main character that has this memory problem. And that for me is amazing. That is what I strive to do. You know, I strive to tell the story with the tools that will allow you to become the main character, as opposed to just do it fancy just because it's cool, or you know.
Yeah, that's an example of having the audience in the same exact shoes as the main character.
Exactly. So that for me, it's is one of the biggest guidelines that I have. And definitely, I'd say that's a major influence, Christopher Nolan. There's a lot of people that I really admire, like the Wachowskis and David Fincher. Like also, those movies, they're very different, but they have influenced me somehow to try to write movies that are like that have interesting dialogue, fast-paced it changes in the conversations, and maybe sometimes a little bit of humor, you know, from Fincher. And definitely from the Wachowskis is the idea of like trying to make it like smart, you know, trying to assume audiences will get it and that you can put the smart ideas into movies and people will react to it in a positive way.
Yeah, great choices actually. Memento is your like a guiding light for you. But what's your favorite film?
I'd say my favorite film is as well Memento, but I really, really, really like fantasy movies and science fiction movies. Those are the ones that inspire me the most. Another example, like I'll say Memento is my favorite film, but a film like The Matrix also could rank as my favorite film. Okay. And it's just seeing it, you know, all the ideas and the way they combine all the elements that are in that movie in such a successful way. It's really inspiring to me, especially like right now it's a no-brainer, but I cannot help thinking that back in 1999, you know, the Wachowskis were not famous, you know, they had only like one movie, and the idea of like, well, I'm gonna pitch this crazy martial arts movie about machines, and like if I try to pitch that movie, I would tell me that's all over the place, like your tone is uneven, like doesn't make any sense. Nobody's gonna watch it, you know, but they made it and it's great. So for me that's very inspiring, you know, to think outside the box and commit to it and it will come out an amazing movie.
Yeah, I don't remember much from it, but from what I can remember from both Matrix and Memento is that there is some sort of philosophy towards them. Like there's a philosophical question underlying in both films.
Yes, that is correct.
So I guess I can see why you chose those two films as your favorite.
Yes, that is very, very accurate. And I'm guessing what I'm trying to say as well is that movies are entertainment, you know, and they are escape. But at the same time, there are movies that, being that, also made you think and made you question things. And I'm guessing that's what I'm going for, you know? Not just have people entertained, but also have people, like, ask questions.
What was the last movie that you've seen?
The last movie that I saw actually was Edge of Tomorrow. With Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt.
Okay, I kind of figured you would say that, since... What did you think of it? Was it...
I really like it. I was very surprised, because honestly, I didn't thought it was going to be good. Like, I'd seen the trailers, and I thought they looked so-so. But then I read the reviews, and everybody was like, oh, it's great, and I saw it. And I was very surprised that it's a movie that is actually really funny, you know? Like, the trailers presented as this really dark war drama. But it's a great time. It's really funny. You see it with a theater full of people, everyone's going to laugh, and you're going to laugh even more. It was a great experience. I hated the ending beyond words. Because the ending of that movie is an example of the opposite of what Memento is, you know? Like, the ending of the movie breaks all the rules of the storytelling that they established just to give us a happy ending. Which, in my opinion, it should be the other way around. Like, if you establish these rules, then you need to follow them, even if the ending is sad. But that was my only thing with the movie.
All right, I haven't seen it yet. It's on.
It's spoilers.
It's no problem. I guess I can see that. Yeah, based on the trailer. Based on what you said, without trying to give anything away. Where do you see yourself in the film industry in 5 years?
In 5 years. Actually, when I am not directing, you know, I've been trying to work actively in the industry anyway. So every time I have the opportunity of working on a set, I will take it, because you will learn something. That's amazing. Like, literally every time you go to a set, you will learn something you didn't know before. And so I've been working a lot as assistant director, and in other positions on several sets. And in 5 years, I see myself directing, or hopefully writing post-production of my second feature, which I am writing right now. And again, it's like it takes all these ideas of philosophical questions, and again, I'm trying to really explore themes. I see myself hopefully in post-production of my second feature, and I'm still working on sets, you know, in different positions, because it's really amazing what you experience being on a film set, even if you're not the director.
Yeah, it has to be exhilarating.
Yeah.
And last question: if you weren't a filmmaker, what would you be doing?
If I wasn't a filmmaker, I think most likely I would be teaching. I would be a teacher. I actually work as a teacher in Colombia before I came to Los Angeles. You know, not much, but I do have the experience. And it's amazing. I really like teaching. I was a philosophy teacher, and it's great how you really don't understand until you are able to explain to someone else those contents, you know? So you think you know, but then when you have to actually sit and break it down to explain it, that's when you realize, oh, now I get it. I didn't get it before. And honestly, like, I would love to have the opportunity of teaching filmmaking, or of teaching philosophy again.
And if you had that opportunity now, would you take it?
Definitely, yeah.
Thank you very much again for the interview.
Hey, no, Jonathan. Thank you for your time.